I'm sitting here with four young adults, and we are having a conversation on young adult ministry. I'm Jessica Bordalo, a young adult ministry consultant.
And I'm Jason Rust. I'm a pastor at a historic congregation in downtown St. Louis who does a mission plant called Vintage 10.
And I'm Pastor Matt Hainer. I also serve in the St. Louis area at different churches, and I teach at Concordia University, Wisconsin, their satellite in St. Louis, and also do some adjunct teaching at the seminary.
I'm Ann Meyer. I'm the Director of Children and Youth at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran here in St. Louis. I also do young adults on the side, and I'm doing a DCE's work, but I'm not a DCE.
And I'm Ryan Peterson. I'm a pastor at a church in West St. Louis County.
This is four out of six members of the LCMS Young Adult Ministry Advisory Committee. We're a committee that has been working on the website and doing some other things, trying to enable young adults to share their faith with their peers and enable the rest of the church to understand that culture to better reach young adults. And so we're going to talk today about what you can do to reach young adults.
Well, the first topic that I had down was listen. And listen like it matters, not just that sort of placate listen sort of thing.
And I think one very easy conversational point has to do with career. You know, the whole what do you do, how do you like it? And because a lot of young adults are so focused on their career that, right or wrong, they're looking to advance in their career, they're looking to get ahead in their career, and so they actually want the wisdom of someone who's been there, done that, to help them out. Probably long before they want to have any kind of spiritual conversation.
Another point of entry would be the house. You know, when you're a young adult and you have a house, how you do different things. Mm. If you didn't have parents, and a lot of young adults didn't have two parents in the household, so they grew up kind of, you know, figuring things out for themselves, and maybe having, you know, an older couple help them out with how you repair this or, you know, maintain your house. I mean, those are big issues that young adults are dealing with.
And depending on the young adult too, if they have small children or have kids, that can be another, I think, point of entry, like you said. Just being there to not always offer advice right off the bat, but to ask them how it's going, offer your help. Maybe you're, say, can I babysit sometime? You can go on a date with your husband. Those kinds of things are huge. And actually, speaking sort of a personal story, when I moved here, my husband and I moved here and, you know, didn't know anybody in the area. One of the ways that I got really connected with the church, at that time I was not in a position of, I was not working with the church, I was actually in grad school. And one of the ways I got connected was through choir, but then all the ladies in this ladies' choir I was in, probably, I would say, around the age of 50, minus or less 10 years. And those became my best friends. They invited me to have pool parties at their houses. I went to Pampered Chef parties. I did all kinds of fun things with them, purely social. They always thought it was great to have somebody young in the group, and I think they wondered why I wanted to be there sometimes, but I had a great time. My best friend at church, one of my best friends at church is in her 50s. You know, so, yeah, like you said, don't discredit that young adults want to be involved in the lives of, I'm not even going to say older adults, I'm going to say adult, whatever the
seasoned
term is.
Adults.
Yeah, we don't like the term, but it...
The ringing phone reminded me of something. you know, something to remember about, those of us that don't work in a community that has multiple generations, like all of us sitting around this table do, most of us young adults are surrounded by people like us. We text with people like us. We're friends on Facebook with people that like us. We're around people like us all the time. So actually spending time with people outside of our typical generation is a valued commodity. It's something that is, needs the wrong word, but it's important. You start to recognize, oh yeah, this is good. This is great. I'm kind of liking this. So don't go under the misconception that, that young adults aren't going to appreciate time. If you're of that past young adult age period, whatever that is, don't think that because we're young adults we don't value time with other generations. It's actually quite the opposite. We might not always have a lot of time because we are so inundated with new careers, new families, new houses. So that's another really important thing to think about when you're trying to get connected to young adults, is that there's not a lot of time. So convenience is a big issue. Immediacy is a big issue. Don't say we should do this later. Try to say we should do it now.
Right.
Get together immediately. You know, if you're meeting somebody after church, say, hey, can I buy you a sandwich right now? You know, because they happen to be there. They might have that extra 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, later may not happen.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I'm always thinking.
Right.
I can't remember. There was something else and that you had said that had kind of sparked something in my brain. But I can't remember what it was.
So building relationships with people who are younger than you is something that's it's looked for. It's welcomed. Young adults want mentors.
Yeah. Oh, that was the other thing that reminded me. Is it's a little demeaning to put it the metaphor like this, but you know, when you've got young children, tiny things are huge issues to them. But because we're older, we think they're tiny. It doesn't stop just because now we have big bodies. Mm-hmm. You know, the things that are a big deal to us probably aren't always a big deal to people who are in that older category, because they've been there, they've done that, they survived it. You know, to a college student who's getting a C in their class, that might be the hugest thing in the whole wide world. You know, a relationship that broke up after 5 months might be a big deal. A baby that's crying in the middle of the night, a big deal. Things like that. So just listening with the ear towards, okay, it's not a big deal to me, but it's obviously a big deal to them. And again, that sense of validation,
right.
I think.
Right. Yeah, as I excuse me, as I interact with multiple generations, I am so amazed and surprised, pleasantly surprised, how easily people can jump back to the stage of life that I'm in and say, mm-hmm. "Oh yeah, I remember when, you know, this was going on." And I think, "Wow, that was 20, 30, that was 50 years ago for you, and yet you still remember it." You know, I mean, they care. They care enough to remember it and to share that experience with you.
And sometimes the perspective of those years helps you see your own life in perspective. Because maybe that crying baby is the most scary thing going on in your life right now. And it's really reassuring to hear from someone who went through that, raised four of them, and they're all healthy and still alive. So maybe it's going to be okay for you too. And you're not going to get that perspective from a friend that's your age.
Exactly. You'll get pity, you'll get you know, agreement, but you won't get a new perspective. Mm-hmm.
That's the point. There is none. There's outside of building relationships, you know, inviting them to church. There's no one thing that's gonna. There's no program that you can do that'll be the end all be all. There's 100 little things that you do to reach young adults that you can start doing right now.
Something I think Jessica can speak to this maybe more at your church is giving young adults a reason to be there, giving them a job and a task. And I know you have a great thing going there that where the young adults aren't involved with the youth, and so they have a reason to be there beyond just consuming from the worship service.
Once somebody is a part of serving at a church, serving in leadership or serving in any way, then they take ownership of that church, because then they feel like, well, I need to go on Sunday. I'm teaching.
Right.
I'm teaching Sunday school for the junior high, you know, or well, I've got to be there for this. My high school youth are going to look for me. And so once young adults find their role in the church, they really become a full active part of that community. And that is so much more important than setting up a sub community of young adults that meet together, which young adults wouldn't want anyway. But involving them in the faith life of younger people, of older people. And like you said, at my church, young adults are running the youth group and for 7th and 8th graders and high schoolers. And it's been amazing for the 7th and 8th graders and the high schoolers to see how they're going through that and growing in their faith and how they look up to them, and how this group of young adults has just become such a dedicated group of servants. who don't want to miss on Sunday because they've got to be there for Sunday school. You know, they've got to find out what's going on in the lives of their kids. Mm-hmm. And I hang out with some of these young adults socially, and that's what they talk about over dinner. You know, they're like, well, you know, so-and-so broke up with his boyfriend, but did you hear that she got a car now? And I mean, they're talking about the lives of the kids because they care about them so much. Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, we've seen that in our local church, too, because you've created an environment where the young adults they're not just on a committee, because they're not interested in being on a committee. They're interested in doing, mm-hmm. you know, they're interested in serving. They are interested in, you know, making a difference in real lives, mm-hmm. you know, not just on paper somewhere. They're not looking to do something to fill their resume. They're looking to do something to fill their life.
Yeah. Don't ask them to come and be a part of a meeting, but come and ask them to be a part of investing in someone else's spiritual well-being,
mm-hmm.
or helping do a community service project, or that might be a good way to introduce them into leadership in your congregation. What are some other things that you can invite a young adult to do to be introduced into leadership in their congregation?
Well, something you could do, I think, especially for those college-age young adults, you know, again, when we talk about young adults, it's college, it's young married couples, it's young single couples, it's folks in their 20s and 30s. So, I mean, we're talking about a broad range. Something for college kids. One of my friends that he really emphasized was make sure that the church is providing the means and the opportunities for college students during the summertime to do, you know, a Christian camp, group work camps, something where all summer long they're involved in leadership, they're involved in helping train younger leaders, they're, you know, and I forget the exact percentage, but he said somewhere around 95% statistically of folks who participate in that sort of event during their summer college years go on after college to participate in the life of the church. So help the next generation of the kingdom. And, you know, whether it's providing scholarships, because if you're going to do a short-term mission trip over the summertime, that requires money. Provide opportunities. You know, let people know that you'll encourage them in doing that. So, I mean, that's a tangible college-age thing to be doing, is get people involved in those Christian camps, those group work camps over the summertime, short-term mission trips, that they can take a meaningful act of involvement in, like we've been talking about.
You talked about how you could start to build relationships with young adults in your church by talking to them and including them in the leadership of your congregation. What about reaching young adults that are not a part of your congregation? What ways, how could we as parts of our community reach out of our church to find young adults?
Well, I was going to say the first thing is look around. I don't think you have to work hard to find... there's a good chance you already know the people. Don't make life harder on yourself by trying to introduce yourself to young strangers. Get yourself
involved. That could be weird, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hi, you're young. Can I meet
you? That's right, yeah.
That would be creepy.
To a generation of people growing up and being adults after 9/11, people knocking on your door or coming up to you that you don't know might be kind of weird.
Right.
You might not, you know... take the knock on the door the same way that other generations have.
Right.
How would we authentically find young adults in our community that we could share faith with?
Get to know the ones you've met before. I mean, that's the thing, is I think we've already talked about a number of different ways to... I don't know. What do you guys think? How do you build those relationships with, you know, your neighbor Jim next door who's got two young kids? He's 32, you know?
I think you have to start slowly and start in, I would say, sort of the secular way. Sort of find out about them. Don't come over and say, you know, maybe come off with a question about their lives and then right away and say, hey, would you like to come to church with me? They might perceive that as being, you know, you having an ulterior motive and getting to know them. So not that it has to be a long, drawn-out process and that you can't ask somebody to be involved at your church or to come before you have a certain relationship with them, but... don't come off as being fake or being fakely interested in their life just so that you can sort of, you know, get them in. So be genuinely interested in them and who they are and what's going on.
Dan Kimball wrote in his book, They Like Jesus But Not the Church, that as Christians, a lot of times we live in a Christian subculture bubble, and we only know Christians because we're only involved in things at church. And so the whole outside world has a picture of what Christians are like that isn't true because they don't know any Christians. And so one of the things that he talked about doing was to be a part of your community so that you can meet these young adults. I know, Ryan, you run with heathens, don't
right,
you?
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point. We had someone in our congregation a few years ago say, you know what, Pastor, I know you love to bike and I love to bike, but we should do a Christian bike club. You know, so we can get all the guys from church together on Saturday morning, and it'll be great, and we'll give this Christian name and make this Christian website. And I said, time out. How about you just go bike? You know, because I like to go bike with people who don't go to church. I mean, sure, I'll bike with guys from our church and all that, but primarily I'm not going to spend my energy trying to organize a bunch of Christians to do an activity that I can do with people who don't go to church. You know, and so we all have hobbies. You know, in my own neighborhood, I like to bike with the people in my neighborhood. You know, we have multiple generations in my neighborhood. We have a lot of people that are like us, young adults with young kids. But we also have people who could be our grandparents. And we do things together. We don't exclude other generations. If we're going to have a barbecue, everyone's invited to the barbecue. You know, it's not just the young couple with a few kid barbecue. You know, we're always thinking about who are all the people around us, multiple generations, because that's what the church is, right? An intergenerational body of people.
Sometimes, as church members, we think it's only appropriate that we be social with our Christian friends. And so all these non-Christians in our community never get to see Christ in us. So being part of a bike club of people who just like to bike is a way to share your faith. What are some other ways that people could be involved in their community to meet young adults in an organic, authentic way and just become friends with them so they can see Christ in them? What are some other ways that people could do that? I know, Anne, sometimes you go to a young mom's group that is not connected to a church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a bunch of people getting together because we have something in common. We're all young moms.
But it's not at your church.
It's not at the church. No, it's at a local store, clothing store. And so there it's a great opportunity just to be able to talk to young moms that are going through the same thing that I'm going with. And, you know, I have my Christian worldview and my perspective that is going to, I guess, it's going to impact the way that I live and the way I talk. And so, you know, you're just being a witness by the way that you interact and talk. And, yeah, I mean, that's...
It's hard to get turned off by just somebody being themselves and being your friend.
Exactly. And as you get to know people, you got to be more of a question asker than a talker. You know, even Jim Collins, you know, talks about increasing the number of questions you ask and decreasing the amount of talking that you do. Because as you ask questions, people will naturally ask you questions back, which give you an opportunity for your testimony. How has Christ really affected your life? You know, how have you gotten to know him over the weeks, months, years that you've been a Christ follower? And no one can argue with your story. That's the thing. I mean, it's your story,
and it's yours.
That which God is doing in your life. So they may not agree with it or your perspective, but they can't argue that it's your story and what God's doing in it. So,
and that's a great way to approach it. Say that, well, this is how I view it.
Exactly.
You know, but you have to have that relationship with those people first.
Mm-hmm.
So, look at the people that you see on a regular basis, because it's not that those kind of conversations that Ryan's talking about aren't going to happen the first or second time you talk to a young adult. So, if you are a young adult, or you're not a young adult and you're talking to young adults. Why am I talking with my hands? If you are a young adult or you're not a young adult, it doesn't matter. You still need to build that relationship. And so, like Anne was talking about, putting yourself in positions where you're going to meet the same people on a regular basis gives you that opportunity to find out who they are.
Most of us, the people that we see the most, live right next door to us. I would say that they're our neighborhood. You know, others may disagree depending on where you live, depends on your neighborhood. But really, you have the most opportunity in your neighborhood. Because those are the people that if you're intentional about it, you can rub shoulders with them because they're the easiest. They're right next door to you.
And your workplace maybe too.
Definitely a workplace. And
thank you for listening. There'll be more podcasts to come. I'm Jessica Bordolo, Young Adult Ministry Consultant here in St. Louis.
And I'm Jason Rust, a pastor at Downtown Historic Church and a mission plant.
I'm Ann Meyer, Director of Children and Youth at Chapel of the Cross here in St. Louis.
And I'm Ryan Peterson, pastor at St. John in West St. Louis County. And if you lasted this long on the podcast, way to go.